The cardinal rules of journalism involve originality. You don't make things up and you don't plagiarize. But we still frequently hear about reporters who lift passages from other people's work and some who've gone so far as fabricating stories and sources. This week, three different episodes of dishonesty in journalism have bubbled back up in some form or another. Here to talk to us about that is NPR's David Folkenflik, who joins us regularly to talk about the media world. David, welcome back.
Hey, Sasha.
And David, one of these three cases involves Fareed Zakaria, the CNN host and columnist for several publications. He's been in hot water in the past for plagiarism. Now the Washington Post says several columns he's written for the Post are problematic. You talked with the Post editor about that, or you had an email exchange with him. What did he tell you?
That's right. That's Fred Hyatt. He's the editorial page editor of The Washington Post. And he looked over a number of the allegations made by these two guys who, I'm assuming guys, but they're called Crushing Bort and Blippo Bloppo. We don't know their names. They're pseudonymous. They run a site called Our Bad Media, and they've been picking apart the work of Fareed Zakaria for weeks. You've seen editor's notes now appended, I believe, to articles done for five different news outlets. Newsweek, where Fareed Zakaria worked for over a decade, Time Magazine, a couple of brief columns on CNN, where Zakaria has a weekly show, Slate, where he wrote a piece in 1998 about mixed drinks that did not contain sufficient attribution to another piece on the same topic using the same anecdotes, and now the Washington Post, where, you know, Zakaria is so much a voice of the establishment and a voice of conventional wisdom, but exploring that for a larger audience. And here, Hyatt says, you know, there were four columns that he looked to in which Zakaria failed to sufficiently credit inspiration, work, language of others. You know, Zakaria is a respected guy, a thoughtful guy. You know, he's got all these successful positions in the, you know, he seems to fit in the middle of this Venn diagram of academia, corporate world, journalism, foreign affairs, you know, and yet the idea of if you have all these big thoughts is that they're your own. In this instance, Hyatt's, you know, kind of frames them as if having been perhaps misdemeanors rather than felonies. You know, in one case, he wrote to me you know, he should have used quotation marks, but in a previous sentence, Fareed cites the article and its author, which, as Hyatt wrote to me, suggests to me that this was sloppiness, not an attempt to present someone else's intellectual capital as his own. The other point that Hyatt made was that, you know, issues were first raised about Zakaria's intellectual originality in 2012 by the conservative media watchdog group Newsbusters in an instance perhaps most serious in which he appeared to have lifted a column for Time magazine or at least elements of it from a New Yorker piece by the scholar Jill Lepore. Since 2012, Hyatt says there have been no examples of that. At that time, Zakaria said he would tend a lot more closely to his column and pay a lot more attention to the sourcing and attribution he did.
So, David, to clarify something there, do I understand correctly that these latest allegations predate the original allegation? So it's basically unearthing more cases, not new ones since the first allegation, just more than there may have been known of before.
That's right. But still, you know, the Washington Post had presented these as original columns with original work. Right. Different people have thoughts about how severe that is as an issue. But, you know, the Washington Post, to its credit, felt it had to make good once these issues were raised.
Also this week, we learned that Jonah Lehrer, who 2 years ago lost his job in a scandal involving plagiarism and fabrication of material, now has a book deal. How is that news being received?
You know, surprisingly quietly, but I think almost with a sense of stunned silence from the journalistic realm. Jonah Lehrer was a wunderkind. You know, if you think of Malcolm Gladwell having made a franchise out of unconventional thinking about cognitive thought, how the brain functions, how we work as animals in the human body. You know, Jonah Lehrer does that as well and has done that quite brilliantly. But it turned out that he had, in working for the NewYorker.com, had lifted some of his own earlier work for others and presented it as new material, which caused consternation. But also that he had fabricated some things, particularly putting the words in the mouth of the rock and roll great Bob Dylan. And there's somebody, you know, as great a lyricist as Dylan is, I wouldn't want to make up words for him, right? So, you know, Lehrer was called out. He lost his job. He had to leave. And you know, people were raising questions about some passages in some of his previous books. And here he is back. He's writing a book on love, which had been announced previously. This week came news that he's also writing a book with a scholar from California about how the human mind interacts with the digital screen. And he's a wonderful conveyor of information. He's working with someone else who's credentialed, as news reports tell us, in this area. But at the same time, it is kind of stunning to think of someone getting major book contracts from major publishers after having transgressed pretty seriously in terms of his intellectual originality.
And if we consider that a comeback of sorts, we don't see the same thing in the case of Stephen Glass. This is the guy who 16 years ago was caught fabricating stories and making up sources, even making up business cards and recording false voicemails for pieces he did for The New Republic. There's a somewhat sympathetic profile of him this week in The New Republic by Hannah Rosen. But again, he doesn't seem to have quite come back the way Jonah Lehrer does if you consider these book contracts a comeback.
Yeah, Stephen Glass, a real Icarus tale. You know, The New Republic, a magazine that has had an influence far beyond the size of its actual readership over the years. And Glass had just made stuff up, and he made stuff little facts to try to prove to editors that his stories were real, his sources were real. I remember being a young reporter covering Capitol Hill in the late 90s when he was writing about politics for The New Republic, and I always said, why can't I get that anecdote? I literally said that out loud on two occasions, I recall, and it was because they were invented. Right. They weren't real. In that case, you know, he later, after resigning from The New Republic, after being the subject of the movie Shattered Glass, quite a wonderful little film, Glass tried to remake his life. He went to law school in Washington. He sought admission to the bar in the state of New York and California. Both state bars, one way or another, indicated they would not admit him. He's a paralegal. It's not a glamorous life. Hannah Rosen sort of told her journey, I thought, a very compelling way, figuring out her way to forgive a guy who had been her best friend and who had lied to her about who he was and what he had done.
You know, David, whenever these cases come up, there tends to be a conversation about outright fabrication versus instances where people are doing a lot of research. They cut and paste from a story into their notes, and then in their story they write, they sometimes sloppily but perhaps unintentionally use some of that original language. Do you kind of differentiate in your mind and view people more sympathetically when it's a accidental cut and paste?
I think you have to do very careful attention to what actually happened. In the case of fabrication, you can't doubt that there was malice aforethought. In the case of failure of attribution, you have to figure out how deeply was there plagiarism occurred? How sloppy was it? You know, how much do you credit the explanation? Oftentimes people will say I was sloppy when they actually knew what they were doing. You know, if you consider certain kinds of failed attributions to be like traffic tickets or speeding or going through a red light, the accretion of these misdemeanors over time add up to a real warning sign and a real flashing light to those of us who think about these things in journalism. And I think that, you know, Zakaria probably needs to come forward and explain himself if his readers and viewers are going to have full faith in what he presents in print and on the air.
That's David Folkenflik. He's NPR's media correspondent. David, thanks very much.
You bet.